Thank you, Pastor Lindsay. Hey, tonight, 6:30, services at 7, 6:30. If you've not yet been baptized in water as an adult believer, tonight we're having water baptisms. Now, if you were sprinkled as a child, all you got was a clean forehead. So as a Christian adult, so we're commanded, repent, receive Christ, be baptized in water, identifying with his death, burial, resurrection. Something spiritual happens when we do the natural act of water baptism. It cuts off your past. So it cuts off, the children of Israel came out of Egypt. Egypt tried to follow them and retake them. But in the Red Sea, God drowned them. In water baptism, God severs your past from affecting your future. So that's tonight. So how many of you have not yet been water baptized as an adult believer? Just wave your hand. It's not a so please come tonight, 6:30. It's really important. It's not a church membership thing. It's a Jesus thing, and it really, really is powerful. So come tonight and watch what God does for you. Amen. On the 25th, like we saw, Pastor Chad will be back. Our own Pastor Chad Johnson will be back, and I got to text him today and comfort all them that sorrow in Pittsburgh. But he'll have a bunch of NFL players here in this service. And they'll be sharing their testimony. Now, we did this a couple years ago. Just phenomenal. There's a spirit on our church where he will just open up. So the guys just opened up from the Cardinals. We had 10 of them here one service. And it was incredible. So please tell your friends that don't know Jesus but love football to come. Because this isn't just a, you know, rah-rah. This is an outreach. So 11 o'clock, the 25th, it's going to be a great time. Also in February, a new friend we've met, the founder and pastor of the Planet Shakers from Australia, will be here in February, Russell Evans. And I can't wait to introduce you to him and to this whole thing that God's doing with those guys. It's fun. So get ready. Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be an incredible year. Amen. Thank you, six of you. I want to welcome, I saw Jonathan Williams. Are you still there? Jonathan Williams, an awesome man of God. Now works for Patricia King and is very involved in there. Also, Pastor George and Chrissy Chadwick are here. And there, Pastor George, hey, would you stand up? Pastor George is one of the pastors at City of Grace. And we go way back to the Eagle's Nest. So that Pastor George was a youth pastor, and then for many years our worship leader at that church. So that church, out of that church came Israel Houghton and Ricardo Sanchez and George Chadwick, and then B.J. Putnam. B.J. Putnam today is leading worship for Jensen Franklin in Georgia. And I think Melody's with him. I don't know, but the awesome things are happening with his ministry. So we're excited about that. But I remember in 1999, Pastor George and Chrissy felt they were supposed to move to a different ministry assignment. So they said, you know, but we're not going to leave you without a worship pastor. We want you to meet B.J. Putnam. He's only 19, but he's really gifted. So at 19 years old, we hired B.J. Putnam. And I found out that part of his interest wasn't just our church, was our daughter. So I want to thank my foxy daughter, Melody Joy, for B.J. Putnam. So that's the story. We deeply, Pastor Luke is here from Olympia, Washington, and a great pastor. And any other leaders or pastors here, God bless you. We're honored that you're with us today. 92-year-old man went to the doctor and had his checkup, and a few days later, the doctor saw the man on the street, and on his arm was a beautiful young woman. And the doctor said, well, you're certainly feeling a lot better. And the 92-year-old man said, I'm just following your orders, doctor. You said to go find a hot mama and be cheerful. And the doctor said, that's not what I said. I said, you have a heart murmur, be careful. I'm beginning a series today called Unlocking the Potential of Your Future. This is really, there are some things that I keep coming back to because they're really organic to the expression of my own giftedness and my own experience. This is one of them. So I've done more things through vision than any other thing. I've been an outrageous visionary. I have visions beyond my capacity, my ability, my history, my experience. And I found out that God will bless anybody that can see the things he wants to do. Unlocking the potential of your future. Point number one, you belong to God. You are God's property. You are God's child. Your life is in his hand. The devil doesn't own you. The world can't control you. Circumstances and storms cannot reign over you. You belong to God. And because you belong to God, your future belongs to God. Your future is not up to us. God will never allow a person to have authority over your destiny. Your future belongs to God. And because of that, you are his greatly beloved child. And God has planned an incredible future for you. I love my four children so much. I love my five grandchildren so much. I can't wait till I have more of the latter. Trying to encourage my two youngest children, get with the program. But it's so fun. And if I could give them the world, I'd do it. Y'all with me? Church gave us an offering for Christmas. We spent the whole offering taking our kids to the mountains. Because our kids are everything to us. Everything to us. And if I feel that way as a human being born in Marshalltown, Iowa, how much more does your perfect Father, whose love is so outrageous, so lavish, so unconditional, so limitless, so indescribable, so transformative, so healing, how much more does your Father love you enough to give you a future? Jeremiah 29, this is a famous verse. You guys know it. You've heard it before. God's speaking to us, for I know the kind of thoughts, the quality, the quantity, the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. I have a prophetic gift. And I've ministered over a lot of people, you know, thousands of people, tens of thousands. And so in some environments I come to, people are afraid of the prophetic. Because they've been exposed to a hostile theology that says, yes, God loves you, but if you mess up, God will smack you around. So people are afraid. Well, what if God exposes my... So I've prophesied over 100,000 people, and I've never had God say, one time, I want you to knock them out. And even if I see something that's sinful or hurting, God has me give the answer, not surface the problem. See, your God thinks about you. It's good stuff. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a future. Your future's on the mind of God. And a hope. Hope is the oxygen of your soul. Hope comes in the form of a dream, a destiny, a vision, a prophecy. When hope walks out, depression walks in. Hope is God's antidote to the terrible, powerful, demonic entities of this dark world. If you have hope, you stick out and you shine. Then the next verse is said, because if you know that I'm good, and that I have good things for you, that will cause you to be free to run to me. To run to me to find out what I have for you. People that don't run to God have been taught or believed that somehow God is up. God's not mad with you. He's not mad at you. He's not at war with you. He's not upset with you. Everyone else might be, but God's not. Isaiah 43. I was watching TV many years ago, and I guess this was Timmy. My two-year-old son was sitting next to me. And we were watching, you know, a sports event or whatever, and a DeVry University commercial came on. They talk about, you know, learning technical skills. And at the end of the student looks up into the camera and says, "My future's looking great." My little son, Timmy, grabbed my face, pulled it toward him and said, "Daddy, my future's looking great." God likes it when we tell him, "My future's looking great." David said, "I almost had fainted." Psalm 27. "Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living," on this side of heaven. On this side. See, if you're not careful, lots of people say, I'm just real. I'm just being real. No, a lot of people are in fear and doubt calling it being real. Being real is aligning your heart and your mind with what heaven is saying and doing. "Do not remember," Isaiah 43, "the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'll do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." So God says, "I'm breaking you out of even the box of your expectation. I'm going to do something you've never seen done. I'm going to do it where you don't think I can do it." You want to know where God's going to move in this next year? Where you don't think he can. You want to know what God's going to do this year? Stuff you don't think he can do. You know who God's going to save this year? People you never thought, "I can't believe she's saved. I'm shocked. She was prancing around singing about this and now she's saved. Yeah. It's awesome." Message Bible, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. As long as you live in the past, you're dead to the future. There's nothing there. When we were going to Payson or up to Greer, we had to go through Don Shea and past the property we used to own, 17 acres of land on 114th Street and Shea. There's a shopping center there now. So we're driving past that property that I used to own that's worth a ton of money today. And it's not a church. So I'm driving past it. I didn't feel one ounce of pain. Because, listen to me, it's not because something bad didn't happen. I refuse to live in a place where God has moved out of. Now, back then, I did write a country album, Pastor George. Because you can get so depressed, you go country. Just picking on you country people. We're going to have a country Sunday here someday. I won't be here, but we'll have someone come. Just kidding. I'll get me some cowboy boots. I ride a little pony down here. God, don't ever let that happen. Be alert. Be alert. Ephesians 5 says, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the consequences is that you redeem the moment. See, we miss the promise of a season that we don't see the prophetic potential that's in it. Be alert. Be present. Be present. Be present. Y'all with me? Something is ready to happen today. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? God can't do it until you see it. Pastor, what's God going to do? Anything you can see. So when I was thinking about this year, well, you know, 2015, what's God going to do? 10,000 things. I'm not going to say one thing. And this is the year of the open. Yeah, open doors, closed doors, open heavens, resurrections, miracle signs, overseas, in-seas, land-seas, family, finance. That's why I said 10,000 things are ready to happen this year. This is the year of 10,000 miracles. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert. I'm going to do something that's never been done. I'm going to do it where people don't think it can be done. I'm not the best preacher. I'm not the best. But when I go places, I always begin with my testimony, 5 minutes. And my testimony arrests people because God made a way where there was no way. God gave us this property. God resurrected us. We have had a restoration in the same city where we had a scandal and a massive attack. God has done a miracle. So I could tell anybody anywhere, don't you dare give up on God. Don't you give up on yourself. Don't you give up on your future. I'm making a road and rivers in the desert. Rivers. In snow on the superstitions. Rivers in the driest places, I'll send the greatest anointing. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5, I like this verse. Verse 9. God has not appointed us to wrath. I pray, one of the most destructive tools the enemy has used against God's people is negative eschatology, where we give up and get out. The last days are not called the day of the Antichrist, the day of the beast. It's called the day of the Lord. And God always saves the best for last. So instead of focusing on what the devil's doing, why don't you turn your ear toward heaven and listen to what heaven is doing? God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. The wrath of God was turned on his son on the cross. When God turned his back and Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken? My sins were put on my Savior so that his righteousness could be put on me, so that heaven could open to me, so a relationship with Papa God could come to me, so I could be filled with the Spirit, delivered from Satan. He became what I was, a sinner, so I could become what he is, a child, son of God. Point number two, as long as you're alive, anybody here alive? Thank you, the rest of our spiritual beings. Thank you for showing up. As long as you're alive, God will never change his mind about what he's planned for your life. Jonah backslides. He goes down, gets in a ship, goes down to Tarshish. He goes as far as you could from his assignment. After a couple of days in the belly of a whale, the Lord spits him up on the shores of Nineveh. And Jonah says, what you want me to do? God says, I've not changed my mind. Go see previous memo. Go to Nineveh. You can backslide for 50 years. And the moment you come back to God, God will say, here's what I planned for your life. God never, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. The primary mission then of the beautiful Holy Spirit is to reveal God's plan and purpose and destiny for our life. So we don't have to self-discover our destiny. We have to receive it as a gift from the Holy Spirit. Our job is not to create a future. Our job is to receive the future God birthed and predestined us to have. I'm not the originator of my destiny. I'm the receiver of my destiny. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes, pours out. It's 9 a.m. in the morning. They start speaking in other tongues. They burst out their joy. They're so joyful. People think they're drunk. They're happy. They're dancing. They're speaking the dialects of all over the world. And Peter stands up and says, this is the law of first mention. Whenever something happens for the first time, couched in that narrative will be all the key features of that for the rest of its expression in Scripture. So here's the Holy Spirit, first time in the church. And Peter says, these guys aren't drunk with wine. It's only 9. But this is that the prophet Joel said, it shall come to pass, says the Lord, in the latter days, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, black, brown flesh, red flesh, white flesh. I'll pour it out young, fat, skinny flesh. Here's what it is. Here's now the evidence of the pouring out of the spirit. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old man will dream. I had a dream last night. Your old man will dream dreams. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit is relentlessly committed to help you understand why you're here. If you can't get it when you're awake, he'll talk to you when you're asleep. If you can't hear, someone will come to you with the word. You with me? Vice Mayor Phoenix came. We got this building 5 years ago. She came to me. We're downtown at some event, a public event. And she says, hey, Pastor Maiden, everybody's talking about you in the church. I said, She said, no, it's all good. It's amazing. We heard you just got given that property. And then she said, do you know why you got given it? And I said, well, you know, my standard, well, God's good. I don't know, you know, we don't deserve blah, 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 blah. And she said, no, shut up. You got that property because you care for the poor. And at 19th Avenue, everyone talks in the city about the outreaches you do with hardly any money. Your love and your passion, everyone in the city hall knows your name and your church's name. Now, listen to me. A couple of things happened. Number one, I kept looking at, I don't believe in politicians prophesying. I'm looking at her thinking, my God, that's anointed. Number two, God will talk to you through people that you have to make sure you don't get offended by the person who carries the purpose from God to you. God will send you a messenger that may test the quality of your commitment. I kept looking at her. My God, you're a politician. This is so anointed. Okay, God can use politicians. God can even use preachers. 2 Kings 6. The Syrians had been trying to ambush the army of Israel for months and months and months. And every time they do it, the prophet Elijah would send a message to King Ahab saying, don't go down that street. They're waiting for you there. Because your dream will not only carry you into your future, it will protect you from the enemies in your present. Your dream is stronger than your enemy. Come on. So they send this army to go get Elijah because the devil's more afraid of one prophetic person than he is a whole city of blinded believers. So they come to the city, verse 14. They sent horses and chariots and a great army there. They came by night because the devil's sneaky. They surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. The servant runs back into the house. Alas, my master, what shall we do? Here are a couple of points. Number one, God, don't get in trouble. A few years ago, I said, God, what are you going to do now? You're in trouble. He said, I don't get in trouble. That's your job. Alas, Master, what shall we do? Your life was made to live in two worlds. If you only live by what your five senses tell you, you will live under the punishing burden of the hopelessness and discouragement they will always bring by bringing you the conclusion of something that can't happen or will happen, that it is bad, instead of what God could do. What are we going to do, Master? Elijah said, do not fear. Touch someone and say, do not fear. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Oh, okay, come on, I got to help you, okay? More angels than demons. More grace than sin. More healing than disease. More deliverance than bondage. More joy than sorrow. More love than hate. More peace than anxiety. Everything heaven has is more. Someone shout, we got more. Whenever we're afraid, it's because we've looked in the wrong place. Your soul magnifies whatever it focuses on. Elijah said, I can't take this anymore. And he said, Lord, I pray, verse 17, open the eyes of my servant so he can see. I've been praying for a whole month, over a month about this service and this month. I've been praying and fasting and pushing. God, let revelation come. A cloak, a mantle, a beautiful season. Let January be the birthing season of visions and dreams and prophecies. Let dreams that have been buried be uncovered, resurrected, and restored. God, let people know what you have on your heart for them. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. When we were first married, most ministers are bivocational. That means they have to have an outside job because the church can't pay them either full-time or part-time. So most ministers, the ministry is the lowest paid profession in America. Pastor, average pastor makes $32,000. The next lowest is a teacher. So, yes, there are a few rich ministers, whatever, but don't ever, there's an army of sold out people that have given everything and hardly get anything back. Just be careful how you talk about people that have given everything to God. And I had to take a job because the church I worked for in Tempe couldn't pay me. And I worked at ITT Courier. Now, this is after going to Phoenix Christian High School. Then I went to seminary, Life Pacific Bible College, at Four Square University, or college. And so then I get my first secular job. Now, I'd actually had a couple jobs in college, but this is like my first full-time one. I'm working in Babylon. And the first thing I had to learn was a new vocabulary. I needed a dictionary. Oh, what is that? I never heard of that. Ooh. That's bad. My boss's name was Al. She was a retired Air Force officer. She was the toughest man in that company of 3,000 people. When Al would call for me, she would always put a few adjectives in the sentence, right? Bah, 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 Mike. Coming. They made fun of me. They called me the preacher boy. We'd have a big company meal. They'd order milk. He wants a milk. How'd you know? For 6 months at that job, where everything, it just was immersed into the culture. I'd come home like this to Mary. Oh, my soul is vexed. Honey, I work with sinners. I feel like Lot in Sodom. When am I going to get my ministry? For 6 months, I felt so oppressed because instead of shining, I was hiding. And my wife said to me one day, After 6 months, now it would take her 6 minutes, but back then we're newlyweds. She said, honey, maybe if you change your attitude, God will let you leave. All I heard was let you leave. So that night I prayed almost all night until I broke through. And here's what God said to me, son, I sent you to people that need me. And all you've done is complain about how fallen they are. I want you to reach that company. I got up at 5 a.m. I got there at 5 a.m. I walked around these two mighty big buildings, 2,000 or 3,000 people, and I claimed every soul for Christ. Every person. I started working joyfully. I said, this is my purpose. This is my assignment. Your job's not your purpose, it's your platform. Your platform, your purpose is the kingdom. Your purpose is to heal someone who's hurting, save someone who's lost, deliver someone. That's your purpose. Stop waiting for a perfect job. Use your platform to reach people for Jesus. So we got the company drug dealer saved. It was the 70s. Don't make me explain everything. And he had so much hair. He had two eyeballs sticking out of a face of hair. He had an afro. He had huge eyebrows, huge mustache, no lips. I'm sure he had a mouth, you couldn't see it. This massive beard. And he was everybody's connection. And everybody knew what he did, and he was just allowed to do it. And so when he got saved, I didn't tell him to. He got a haircut and shaved off his beard. And when he came to work, they wouldn't let him in. He said, who are you? No, you don't look anything like your picture. And so when he got saved, a bunch of his clientele got saved. And then they came to me. They said, we don't know the Bible. I said, well, they said, can you teach us at lunchtime? So there was two of us, then three of us, then 30 of us, then 40 of us, then 50. Then we took over the lunchroom. A church service. We're singing, we're praying, I'm preaching. That really happened. Next thing I know, they promote me to executive leader. Now, I think they just wanted me close to keep an eye on me. What are you doing? Now, here's what I found out. I almost missed my assignment because it was different than my preference. Ministry is not a pulpit. It's people. Yeah. This has happened dozens of times. We're flying someplace, and my wife will say, get a word for that person. While I'm on my way to minister to someplace, she'll say, prophesy that person. You know, senators, people, actors. People. I say, okay. The Lord always said to me, thanks for listening to your wife. I have something to say to everybody. Okay. I'm almost done. Let me get to my main point. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. New King James Version. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. The vision you have for the future determines the way you live today. See, people that are visionless are compassless and become devoured by the predators they're called to conquer. But because they're not living in the promise of their future, they're bound by the enemies of their present. Joseph has a dream, has another dream. His brothers betray him. His boss's wife tries to sleep with him. He goes unjustly to prison. For years, he cannot be defeated because your dream is stronger than your enemy. Your dream is stronger than life's adversity. Joseph, listen, when you have a dream, you won't sell it for a bowl of oatmeal. Joseph said, I can't sleep with you. It's not that you're not an attractive woman, but my destiny is more important than a moment of sinful indulgence. See, the best way to help people overcome sin is not to berate them for sinning, is to promise them something better. The word here used for vision, for prophetic vision, is chazon. It means dream, oracle, prophetic revelation. God's dream for you is not something you create. It's something you receive by the Holy Spirit's revelation. Y'all with me? You have inside of you the most remarkable property called imagination. Imagination is the world where your spirit and soul join. And when the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, he sanctifies your imagination so that you're able to receive from God creativity beyond your intellectual properties, beyond your history, beyond your you can receive downloads from heaven that come to your sanctified imagination, and you can create songs the world. The best songs have not yet been written. The best movies have not yet been produced. The best books have not yet been penned. God's ready to download into your sanctified imagination. Last point. In the kingdom of God, if you can see it, you can have it. If you can see it. Pastor, what God's going to do this year? Anything you can see. My son, Matthew, was on drugs for 7 years. We thought it was tough losing a church, so we lost a son. At the end, it's just brutal. Cops after him, drug deals after him. We're praying a hedge of protection. If you want to be a prayer warrior, have a child. And I'm praying for him. And the Lord said, son, you're always on the defensive. You're always praying, the devil, oh God, don't let the devil. Here's what I want. I'm going to show you your son's future. And he said, your son will be a great man of God. Your son will marry a great woman of God. Your son will have 3 children. Your son, and God showed me 5 things about my son. And 3 of them he showed me the day he was born. He reminded me of my son's destiny. I told it to my wife, and 1 month after that visitation, God delivered my son from 7 years of drugs. Brought him back with the Bible school, missionary to Haiti, married his wife, has 3 kids. Because anything you can see, God can do. If you can dream it, God can do it. So Abram, last couple verses, couple more minutes, stay with me. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot has separated from him, if God took them, you don't need them. Abram had an unhealthy soul attachment to Lot and tried to take Lot to places Lot was not morally qualified to go. It's very hard. Hard lesson. Lift up your eyes now. God says to Abram, and look from the place you are. I'll show you tomorrow, today. I'll show you the future from your present. Look north, south, east, and west. For all the land that you see, I will give it to you and your descendants forever. What you seeing, baby? We have to get on the same page this year. This year, I believe God showed me a great harvest in Phoenix. So he said, you ready for this? Yes, Lord. So I said, 25,000 souls. I claimed them. I prophesy that in 12 months, 25,000 people will come to Christ through the ministries of our church. We're going to open 4 campuses, and the next month we're going to open 2 of them. Chandler, maybe downtown Phoenix, west, wherever God wants us to do something. By Easter of this year, we will have 24-hour prayer 7 days a week. Thank you, 2 of you. It's going to happen. We're going to start a sports ministry because we have a gym and a soccer field. I refuse to let them be not used. I'm going to find some men and women here that are good at basketball. We're going to start a basketball league for children, and we'll teach, my sons alone can teach them how to be good. We're going to reach people through sports. What else are you going to do, Pastor? Well, I think next week I'll have a list about 20 things. Because if you can see it, heaven can do it. Last scripture, John 4, 20, 35. Do not say, is this not a common colloquial expression of your vocabulary? Don't you say this in your culture? Do you not say, hey, 4 months, then comes the harvest, manana. But I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look, the fields are white already to harvest. That's what Jesus said. When I read that a few years ago, he said this to me, son, when you can see what other people can't see, you can do what other people can't do. God help us to see it so God can do it. God help us to dream it so heaven can do it. I pray in Jesus' name that you enter into a radical season of heavenly revelation. When God opens up your eyes and changes your perspective, when God shows you what can happen in this moment, in this year, in your life. No matter how bad things are, there are more with you than against you. No matter how much you've lost, heaven has more to give back. No matter how bad you were hurt, your story's not over. Don't quit until God writes a good ending. Here we are positioned, ready for something wonderful to happen. Let's cooperate with God. All he wants is our yes, and he'll give us his best. Would you stand your feet with me and say, I say yes, I say yes. So when we, please get this, I'm not the best preacher, I'm not the best anything. You know what I'm really good at? I'm really good at dreaming. When I was a young pastor, my staff, when I come into the room, they'd all start shaking. Oh my God, he's seen something. And I'm good at not being afraid of seeing something big. Don't let something small stop God from doing something big in your life. Something big, prayer team, would you join me down front, please? Something big is trying to download into your world. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you would open the eyes, the understanding, by revelation, wisdom, by divine encounter, by scriptural revelation, by visions and dreams and prophecies, by confirmations. You know the language. You know the sign language we speak individually. Speak to your people in the way they understand the most. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to hover over us until you birth this purpose that you're ready for this year. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Come on, come on, come on. Come, Holy Spirit. If you can see it, God can do it. If you can dream it. If you can dream it. If you can see it, God can do it. All things are possible. All things are possible. If you can see it, God can do it. If you can dream it, your Father can do it. All things are possible with God. The scales are falling off your eyes. The wall is coming down. The limitations are being removed. The barriers are being cut through. The darkness is being removed. And God is releasing. Your loving Father. Three things today. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, tonight you're going to be baptized in water, but this morning you're going to come to Christ at this altar. This is your day in this first Sunday of 2015. The Holy Spirit's been tugging at you. Maybe you've been feeling it all. God's drawing you, His loving kindness moving your heart. If you say, Pastor, I don't know Christ, I need to know Him. I need to know the God you're talking about. Or maybe you've been away from God. This is your homecoming day. This is your restoration day, your breakthrough day. We want to pray for you. There's a massive anointing for physical miracles and healings. And I heard the Lord say, some of you have been crippled by pain from receiving a heavenly vision. But God's going to touch your body. Arthritis is being healed. Cancers are being healed. Blood diseases are being healed. And whatever you need God to do for you physically, we want to pray for you. If you're going to, you say, Pastor, I've been through the worst time in my life or a very tough time. And I just need someone to pray the prayer that what you talked about God can do for me. I'm ready for hope to come. I'm ready for hope to come. Anyone that wants prayer for those reasons or some other reason, please come down forward. The rest of you, just lift your hands to heaven. Tell Jesus you love Him. I love you.
Yes, I love.
Come on, Jesus, I love you.
Jesus, I love you. Yes, I love you. Because you first loved me. Oh.
Come on, tell Him I love you. Say this out loud. This is my year. Say this is my season. God's going to do great things because He's a great God. Thank you, Father, for a year of miracles, breakthroughs, healing, restoration, salvation. Thank you, Father. The best is yet to come. Open my heart for the dreams you have. I'm ready. I give you my yes. And I receive your best. In Jesus' name. I love you. An awesome church. Don't forget the courtyard expression for our outreach ministries tonight's baptism.